And good morning, everybody.
I don't want French fried potatoes.
I'm Marshall Miles.
Jill Goodman.
And the music means that I do believe we've got Arthur Schwartz on the way.
I want the frim fram sauce with the awesome thing with Shafafa on the side.
Good morning, Arthur.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz.
Arthur, are you there?
About gumbo.
Yes.
But we're not going to talk about gumbo today. Although we're going to talk about something that goes with
right.
gumbo.
Right. I was just thinking about that. And what does?
Dawned on me, you know. I want to praise iceberg lettuce today. I don't know how you all feel about iceberg lettuce. I never gave up on it. But now I'm here to say publicly that I never gave up on it. I think people disparage iceberg lettuce. Let's just start by saying that, even though everybody eats it. But I think the disparagement was started by Craig Claiborne of the New York Times. Craig started working at the Times in the late 50s, and by the 60s, he was already ruling our tastes, and he disdained it. It is true. It has almost zero nutritional value. But that, to me, is one of its assets, because it has almost no calories, too. It's a wet lettuce. It's mostly water. If you're concerned in the summer about getting rehydrated, it's a great lettuce for your salad. Truly, that was not a joke. So, it's back. I think it's back, even though I don't eat in restaurants much these days, certainly not the ones that are serving iceberg lettuce as a trendy item, but it has become a trendy item, a wedge of lettuce. I know somebody, believe it or not, who goes out to eat a wedge of iceberg lettuce. I would never leave the house to eat a wedge of iceberg lettuce. It's $1.49 a head at my grocery. Are you conscious of how much it might cost in Sharon?
No, because I don't know. I just know that some of the places that we go have pretty highly. What I'm trying to say is it's cheaper in New York.
It's expensive because I get three heads of lettuce, of iceberg lettuce a week.
Well, there you go. So you're a fan too.
I've always.
Well, do you know how much they're paying for it?
It's right around $2 a head.
Yeah. $2 there. So I've been paying $1.49,
right?
Which I think is like almost nothing, because given that if you serve it as a wedge, that's for four people, 37 and a half cents per person for this big hunk of lettuce. I did serve it the other night because my Italian friend Cecilia is here with her. Cousin Marinella, who lives in Salerno, which is where Bob and I stay, and we're very good friends with Marinella. And I wanted to, we were going to go out on Wednesday night, but who could go out on Wednesday night? It was, you know, a blizzard. And so I stayed in, and I made macaroni and cheese and a wedge with a dressing that Marinella could associate with. In Italian, they call it salsa rossa, pink sauce. And what it is some kind of doctored Russian dressing, meaning combination of mayonnaise and ketchup. Even in Italy, they make this. In fact, I think the most salsa rossa I ever saw was in Sicily, in and around Palermo. For some reason, all these snack trucks, you know, that park themselves near Piazza, so when you're strolling at night, you can get a little something to eat. Well, the little something to eat was this is no joke, a roll-up of ham and cheese served with Russian dressing for you to dunk it into.
Yeah. Yuck.
So never say Italians don't eat junky food.
No. That's a sidebar that people. I always love how imbalanced it becomes. You know, people go traveling and they come back with the more, shall we say, non-junky recipes, but they forget that there are regular people eating like really junky food sometimes.
Right. Oh yeah. Let me just say that when I was For a period of my life, I reported on design and furniture, and I got to go to the Milan furniture show a few times, and once I came back, and you know, the Daily News where I worked was famous for headlines, and we called this report on the Milan furniture show high tech and high dreck.
Exactly. And that, the same holds for the iceberg thing is interesting because.
But let me. Iceberg is not direct.
No,
okay?
iceberg
is, can I just, is a worthy head of lettuce. Go
and
ahead, I'm sorry.
Going back half a century plus in Buffalo, iceberg was all my family ate. Except for
well, that's all we had, Jill.
Except for
when
the foundling.
When we were kids, that was the only lettuce
knew.
But
this was the thing. Except
maybe
for
there was a little romaine out there.
Exactly. Except for the foundling, who only liked romaine. And the foundling had support with the next-door neighbor, who I've alluded to, who was the French woman, thank God. So everybody else ate iceberg, and I curated the lettuce, separating it. Blah, blah, blah. And then it's just bizarre that my brother goes on to Earthbound and iceberg still
becomes the lettuce king.
That's right. It's just, but so that's why, because it was all iceberg except for the foundling.
All right. Well, I have to say, people are paying big bucks for a wedge of iceberg with some dressing on it.
Brown derby.
And maybe the dressing. It could be worth the big bucks. It's possible. I'm not saying not. But here's the various dressings I do for a wedge. The other night, I did the salsa rosa, which is mayonnaise with a few good squirts of ketchup, just enough to make it pink. And then I minced, really as finely as I could, two sweet gherkins, and I threw that in. I always keep sweet gherkins in the house. It's my grandmother's legacy. She always kept gherkins in the house. Because as we traveled, you know, the travel foods were banana, hard-boiled egg, and sweet gherkins. Anyway, if you don't have that, you know, relish, just plain, you don't have to mince anything. You can use a spoonful of sweet relish or whatever pickle relish you happen to like. And I the other day, I also minced very finely one shallot. And I threw that in there. And I keep at hand my own tarragon vinegar, which I have been trying to use up and but can't seem to. So I put it in a lot of things lately. And I put it in this sauce. It was really a good touch since I didn't have any fresh herbs either. It was on Wednesday when I wasn't leaving the house. So that was the dressing, the simplest dressing I could do, a shallot, a couple sweet gherkins, let's say it was a half a cup of mayonnaise and three tablespoons, a quarter of a cup of ketchup. I'm just, you know, out of my brain here, but you can play with it any which way you like. Some people like it a little bit more pink, so you can put a little more ketchup in. I would not put mustard in this. You could put a dash only of Worcestershire sauce. However, the vinegar, if you don't have tarragon vinegar, any vinegar, you need to loosen it up a little bit, and the vinegar usually does it. Pardon me?
I was just going to say, would you use balsamic? I wouldn't, but maybe you might.
No, I would not use balsamic.
Okay.
It's not a go-to vinegar for me. If I'm looking for vinegar, I want acid. I don't want sweet.
Right.
This is not, I don't cook with sugar, you know. I don't see any need to. Certainly there's sugar in your ketchup. So there's a sweet sour in the ketchup already. You could use lemon juice instead of vinegar.
Yep.
It would be very good. So anyway, another dressing that, you know, the restaurants often have is blue cheese dressing. And I find an all mayonnaise, I mean, I would never buy these jarred blue cheese dressings. I've tried them over the years. First of all, the blue cheese is never any good, or hardly ever, I should say. So what blue cheese do you use is the first question, and I think, you know, supermarket Danish blue in a chunk that you cut up, is what you should get. I don't buy, I mean, somebody, an Italian, seeing crumbled blue cheese in the supermarket, bought some and then left it with me because they couldn't finish it. And I tasted it and then I threw it away.
Of course.
So it tasted like chalk. So I would buy a nice Danish blue. There are so many blue cheeses on the market. Now, if you want to buy an expensive blue, go ahead and do that. Leave it in good chunks when you make the dressing, though, so that you really get the effect of the good cheese. If it's a basic supermarket Danish blue, you can crumble it a little more. So I, as a base, I like to use a bit of yogurt with my blue cheese. If I have sour cream, all the better. So I mix sour cream and mayonnaise, and I would say two-thirds, two parts mayonnaise to one. You know, you can adjust this to your own taste. There are days where I say, I really don't want to have the full calorie shot of mayonnaise, and I actually use more sour cream, and nobody notices, and I think, oh, maybe I should just make this with sour cream. Or even good whole milk Greek yogurt, I buy Chobani, which is very creamy. That just mixed with a few drops of lemon juice and the crumbled blue cheese is a great dressing. Now, some people, not me, because I don't think about bacon that much, put bacon on this, and of course, does add something. I'm not saying it doesn't.
So can I also add something?
I'm more likely to add cherry tomatoes myself or some other vegetables, which, by the way, benefit from whatever dressing you're going to put on the lettuce. Let it drip down the sides amply, and then you can dunk your other vegetables, even cut up, you know, celery, carrots, crudité. You can make a whole plate out of this. You add a hard-boiled egg.
So you're leading me on. All right, listen, we should talk for a second. Of course, you, as a food historian, among other things, forgetting the maven part, know about the Brown Derby Cobb salad, right?
Of course.
Okay. So we should probably remind those who don't, but I will tell you something that I just discovered because I was looking at it and I was looking at the dressing. But it has, you'll forgive me, evolved. And the first recipe for it now?
I actually have Cobb salad in one of my books. Let me see if I can find it. Go ahead.
Anyway, it doesn't have iceberg in it. The first recipe that I found doesn't have iceberg. The first recipe has chicory and this and that. I think it's Epicurious. And I'm like, people, it started out as iceberg.
And well, listen, as we said before, that's all we had growing up.
That's right.
There was a little romaine, and that was that. Nobody ever heard of arugula. Kale, are you kidding me? In fact, I was reading a story the other day, I don't even know where, somewhere on the internet, obviously. It was saying that, now what was it saying? I'm trying to do two things at the same time, which is not a good idea always.
Okay.
I'm looking for my Cobb salad recipe. And
what happens if I Google Arthur Schwartz Cobb salad? I'm going to do that.
Well, don't do that because I don't have a website anymore. But I do have the original Cobb salad in my system, it says, but I don't know where it is. So let's move on to to Greek salad. There's a place near my gym that
I've got
You got what?
Yours.
You got me?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, because the
But maybe it was posted on some other website.
No, it was. See, here's what happens. On the internet, nothing ever goes away. So it's not going to your website. It's going to a... Anyway, I have the Food Maven Cobb salad. That's you.
Really?
How about
sending it to me?
Okay.
Make my life easier. So I want to talk about Greek salad, though, okay? Because Cobb salad is not about the lettuce. Cobb salad is about the chicken, the bacon, the blue cheese, the stuff that goes on top. And it used to be served in ribbons across the lettuce, so you didn't even see the lettuce. But Greek salad, at least in America, is almost, I think, always made with iceberg lettuce. I'm sure I had Greek salad in Greece. But they don't call it Greek salad, obviously. They call it whatever kind of salad. And it was made with a romaine-type lettuce, not a head lettuce like iceberg. Iceberg is not so common in Europe. Here it's the main lettuce. It's certainly the best-selling lettuce. Anyway, so here it's made with iceberg. And I've been going to this little Greek grill down the street from my gym and being very happy with the Greek salad there until a neighbor said, "Well, I would never go there. They serve iceberg lettuce." I said, "Ah, that's why I do go there." So their Greek salad, as would my Greek, I make Greek salad very frequently at home. The reason I eat it there is it comes with other stuff. They make very good moussaka, I must say, and they have very nice grilled and skewered meat. So I make a base of I cut the iceberg first into slices, you could say, and then across the slices until it falls into, let's say, 1-inch squares. That's my favorite cut for a Greek salad. You could shred the lettuce, that works too, and that's going to go in your salad bowl. Now, here we are in non-tomato season, but I have to have tomatoes in this salad. I have been buying pretty good, what you'd call grape tomatoes, grown in Mexico, very inexpensive the last few weeks too. And those, I had a laugh about this because the New York Times gave a method, like the Sam Sisson just discovered this method for out-of-season tomatoes. But if you salt them and oil them, you cut them up first, of course, and let them sit for a while, they develop quite a lot of flavor. So, I mean, you know, the salt and the oil brings out what little flavor there is how I really should phrase that. In any case, I usually cut up my cherry tomato. These are not cherry. These are grape tomatoes. They're elongated. I cut them in half lengthwise and then into thirds acrosswise. I have my little serrated blade tomato knife. It takes no time to do this. A whole pint of tomatoes goes in the salad bowl with some few pinches of salt and some great olive oil, and then I let that sit. If I'm adding an herb to my salad, which I usually do, I don't add it until the end, but if you really want to, like I use dried oregano in a Greek salad, you could add it with the tomatoes, toss the tomatoes. It'll rehydrate the oregano a little bit. It really adds some flavor. In any case, you couldn't put it at the end either. Then you put in your iceberg lettuce, and then you need some sliced cucumber, several pinches of good oregano, Kalamata olives, toss this all together, or toss the lettuce with the tomatoes and the cucumber together, and then on top put slices of feta cheese and your olives, and I don't know, sometimes I add other stuff to this salad, but that's the basic one. By the way, iceberg, I find, is a great lettuce to feature new olive oil. In early winter, nowadays we get new olive oil from California. This year I found it to be extraordinary, really comparable to any olive oil that I get from Italy, and had that grab you at the back of the throat polyphenols, which you don't like, I don't think, Jill.
No, I do. Where did you get? I just remember years and years ago.
It's called the brand name is California Olive Ranch.
Okay.
And their oil in general is very good, but they harvest at the end of the year, like everybody, and maybe it's October, maybe as early as October, and they send the new oil to market in a bottle that says Olio Nuovo. So it's and I bought it at Costco for like $10 and change a liter. It was a steal. And well, you know, being low carb arty, I'm trying to find things to put my oil on that aren't bread or pasta. Although I do that too, but in moderation. So I found that the iceberg, which is a very fresh tasting, I don't want to call it bland. I want to call it subtle. It has a subtle, fresh flavor. Was a great foil for my new oil. And just, I could eat it just oil and salt on the lettuce. If you have to put vinegar, go ahead. But I really like the flavor of the oil so much. I just wanted oil and salt. And lettuce, and an iceberg is also a good dunker.
Oh,
unlike leaf lettuces.
Can I just say that I am a huge, because I am the typically the bread, except for baguette and seeded rye bread, I don't love bread. So and the odd bagel.
Well, I guess I'd say you're lucky, but then I could also say you don't know what you're missing.
Exactly. But because I don't know what I'm missing, the go-to replacement has always been, as somebody used to say, truly, a variety of lettuces. A variety of lettuces.
A variety of lettuces.
And I
I like a mixed salad.
But I just use it the same way that people would use a pita chip. I use iceberg or romaine, just whatever it is. So everything.
Yeah, sure.
And everything that you're saying, depending on how much crunch or how much oil or. So everything that you are saying is long short, correct. Because you can take iceberg and just dunk it in extra, brand new olive oil, and it tastes delicious. And it's basically the olive oil, but you've cut the caloric content by a lot. FYI.
The caloric content.
Ooh, look.
That there are people who are on blood thinners are not supposed to eat dark leaf lettuces or any dark leaf greens because they're very high in vitamin K. I have a friend who knows how to adjust her medication when she's preparing herself to eat a dark green salad. But in general, people who are on blood thinners, I'm sure there are some in our audience, should know that iceberg is their best lettuce. Don't eat, I know some. There's a myth out there you can't eat lettuce at all, but iceberg is fine. It's very low in vitamin K, but that is one of the big bonuses of dark leafy greens, and they're also higher in vitamin A and vitamin C than leaf lettuce, iceberg lettuce. Iceberg has very, very, I think, a whole head of lettuce maybe has 50 calories. I'm not joking. So it's free food. So if you're a dieter, it's great food because it's free food. So I have some iceberg in the house because that's why I'm talking about it today, because I've been obsessed. I'm trying to get that word out of my vocabulary.
Fixated.
I'm not obsessed. I'm fixated.
I have iceberg lettuce every day in one form or another.
It's a good filler food.
That's exactly right.
But he's the guy who puts rice in his hamburger, because I was listening to you yesterday.
Yeah, I put not all the time, but sometimes I put rice in there.
Remember porcupine meatballs? My mother used to make them all the time. So I, and then that was rice with ground meat, and it was and potted. I don't know how my mother always got the rice soft, but when I was playing with this recipe years ago, it's in one of my cookbooks. I discovered that if you just put the rice in the chopped meat, uncooked. It never gets soft. Is that true?
No, it does get soft, but because that's the way my
grandma... In a hamburger, I can't imagine it has enough time to get soft.
No, if you make like stuffed peppers or my grandmother or stuffed cabbage,
exactly.
Then with all the sauce that's put on top of it and you bake it, it gets soft that way. But you have to...
Well, I still find it's better to parboil the rice five minutes and then put it in the meat.
Absolutely.
It does a better absorption job. Yep. You do not want firm rice in your meatballs.
No.
I don't think.
No. You want it to be like filler. That's exactly
right. You don't want it to be al dente, no.
Yeah, that's right.
But
the
young chefs would probably make it al dente. In this article I was reading about iceberg lettuce, it was just so funny. It said that the a lot of these fine dining restaurants are serving iceberg because it's 90s nostalgia.
Does
that make you feel old or
no,
what?
No, it makes me feel just 90s annoyed.
90s nostalgia.
It makes me feel annoyed. So anyway, we've got 2 minutes, and I just found sweet and sour potted meatballs adapted from Arthur Schwartz's Jewish Home Cooking.
There you go. Those are my. Those have rice in them, I believe.
So anyway, I'm going to look at that because I've got that book.
Boy, you find things I can't find. I need your internet skills, I guess.
Right. I just add what I'm looking for.
Okay. So I'm looking to finish emptying the dishwasher and dirtying the kitchen again.
Then we send our great love, and we will talk to you next week.
And we'll talk to you next week. All same right. time, same place.
Same okay, bad time.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you can catch him online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, hathawayyoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Reubner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, reubners.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com.
And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.